new estimated time of departure. For Flybe 5B63.
Facing your fear of flying. An audio program to help you overcome your fear of flying. Hello, and welcome to this course on how to overcome your fear of flying. And as you've probably guessed, I'm Captain Keith Godfrey, and I'm going to help you to address your fear. I learned to fly way back in 1959 when I was 16, and now I've got 20,000 hours flying experience. I've spent my whole life in aviation, and in that time nothing has ever happened to me. To me, flying is perfectly safe and perfectly normal. It's as natural to me as anything else I do. I know that if you do the things I suggest on this course, that you'll also see flying as a much more natural thing to do than you do now. Be confident that you can and that you will overcome your fear of flying. You must throw away any doubts that you have about overcoming this fear. I want to encourage you to be positive about yourself and the fact that you will overcome your fear. It won't be today or next week even, but given time and effort, you will succeed. I want this course to be relaxing and easy to listen to, so it's based on a series of discussions I had with a group of people while I was helping them to overcome their fears. It follows the subjects and discussions that actually took place and roughly in the order that they occurred. Therefore, it's going to be conversational in style and less structured than would be the case with, say, an educational course. On occasions, then, it may appear to be random in its direction and in content, but this does have an important message, and that is that there are no quick fixes, no one-size-fits-all solutions, no miracle cures, but a need to consider the many routes to overcoming your fear. Only you can decide how to arrange and use the help and information that I'm suggesting. What is important to one person may be of no interest to another. Remember that every subject is related to another, so no individual part stands alone. Make sure that you write down the things that you think will be of most value to you. Let's start by asking you to set your desired outcome. I could have said aim or objective, but outcome is a more positive and less demanding word, and it describes what we want to do more accurately. It should be something achievable, like, I want to fly with less anxiety than I have now. Or, I want to be more confident about flying. Or, I'd like to be able to control my stress levels when I'm flying. You'll see that these outcomes set general needs rather than specific ones. If you say to yourself that you want to go flying without any worries at all, then you're more likely to miss your target. Set yourself achievable aims. On our forum, we suggest that rather than trying to get to the top of the mountain, you just try to get up as high as you can. If success is only when you get to the top, then every time you fail to get to the summit, you'll be disappointed. So you should set your target as trying to get as far up the mountain as you can each time, and then you will always succeed. Each time you climb or fly, you'll learn something that will help you for the next occasion. Try to see every step as success. And not succeeding on occasions is a part of your journey. Always remember what you have achieved, not what you've failed to achieve. Expect some setbacks as a natural part of overcoming your fear. To make this audio as effective and useful as possible, I'm going to confine myself to the most important facts, and, in return, I want you to give complete commitment to everything I suggest here. It's not my plan to say anything that isn't directly related to overcoming your fear. Remember that almost 40% of the population are anxious about flying, so you're not alone. And the flyingwithoutfear.com website will always be available to give you as much support, encouragement, and help as you need. Each part of this audio will last about 10 minutes and we'll cover everything from how you feel, the causes of fear, what fear really is, and what you can do to overcome your fear. We'll include sections on why aeroplanes fly, how you should prepare, and some strategies that you can use to overcome the nervousness that occurs before you go flying and when you are flying. We'll give you some advice on relaxation and breathing as well. But the first advice I want to give you is to stay in the present. And by that I mean don't start thinking about the future just yet. It's more than likely that you'll think that the most important part of this course is at the end, where there will be a magic formula or technique to overcome your fear. This is not true. The statement, staying in the present, may be your particular key to success. Throughout the course, I hope there will be other key statements that may appeal to you as a way of dealing with your anxieties. The most important part of this course is the fact that everything is linked and related to the eventual outcome, and any part of it may be your particular key. For example, it may seem unlikely that getting a good night's sleep or attending to your diet or drinking water will actually help you to overcome your fear, and, of course, to an extent that is true. But without attending to your well-being, your body and mind will not respond to the demands that you're putting on it. As I'm sure you know, worrying about flying is very tiring. This lowers your defences, so the extra energy you need to fight off the negative thoughts won't be available unless you are as fit and healthy as possible. And I know that for some people, your battle with this fear starts before the tickets are even bought. And perhaps this applies to you. We know that we perform at our best when we're well-rested and well-prepared, and those of us who are parents will be familiar with trying to persuade our children to rest before taking examinations. We know from experience that a rested mind and a rested body will act and think more clearly and more effectively than a tired mind and a tired body. It doesn't add to what you know, but it does allow you to access what you do know. Physical and mental tiredness upsets your thinking processes, and this will make you more prone to anxiety. I want you to remember that whenever I'm talking about simple things that I suggest you do, which may seem unrelated to the final outcome, lots of little differences will make one big difference, and that difference may be staying how you are or flying without fear. To help you succeed and to make things easier for you, I want you to hand over your fears to me for safekeeping. I'm serious. You can't listen properly if you've got thoughts going on in the back of your mind, so just for a few hours, I'll look after them. And if you want them back at the end of this course, then just let me know and I shall return them. One of the biggest hurdles to overcoming your fear is believing that you will be able to fly with less anxiety than you have now. I want to encourage you to believe that you can and that you will overcome your fear of flying, because all the evidence points to that fact. People who do something about addressing their fear almost always succeed. Many people believe that their worries and anxieties actually help to make their flight safer. I have to say that this is not true. What I'm going to ask you to do is to trust yourself, and if you trust yourself, then you'll make rapid progress. Develop a new you. A new you with new attitudes and new beliefs. Regardless of how you feel right now, the chances are that you will overcome your fear, but you must promise yourself that you'll do all the things that I suggest on this audio. The first thing you might want to consider is what your fear actually is and how it started. As I'm sure you'll know by now, fear is one of those things that you have been told helps you to protect yourself. That may well have been true many years ago, but nowadays, there seem to be more disadvantages than advantages. However, we're stuck with who we are, and we have to make the best of our strengths and try to overcome what we perceive to be weaknesses. But the fear of flying is not a weakness. It's just the way that you're made. Let's look now at some causes of the fear of flying. Turbulence is very common, and we'll talk about that later. The strength of the plane worries some people. They think the wings will fall off or that the engines will stop. Becoming a parent or falling in love can make us feel vulnerable and more open to risk. We call that a significant life event, or at least the psychologists do. When we fly, we feel unable to give our children the protection they deserve, and we'd feel guilty if anything happened to them while flying. Some parents get an overwhelming sense of guilt about leaving their children if they have to take a flight. Having to take a flight and leave a loved one behind makes people exaggerate the normal risks of life. Sometimes a significant life event can trigger a fear. Many people don't like to give control of their lives to people they don't know. Quite often a bad experience, or what is believed to be a bad experience, can be very upsetting and can be the starting point of a fear of flying. Some people are even defined by their fear. People who are generally anxious about life often find that flying is an additional burden, and many of their worries are projected onto flying. Now, that may not be the complete list and may not include your particular worry, but that doesn't matter either, because the very fact that you have, as the psychologists would say, self-selected to follow this course means that the chances are you will respond positively to it. As our starting point, we're going to look at the way people behave when they have a fear of flying. Not you individually, but how most fearful flyers behave. People who have a fear of flying behave in characteristic ways. In other words, they do certain things and they think certain things. If we can identify some of those things and learn to avoid them, then we'll be making good progress. If you think for a moment about someone who plays tennis well, one of the things they strive to do is to avoid giving points away. They work on the assumption that if they can get the ball back over the net, then the chances are that their opponent may not be able to return the ball. In other words, they try not to do things wrong. They leave that to their opponents. And so what you should do is behave in a way that doesn't make things worse. We really do want to try and win every point. If we learn about flying and replace the myths and misunderstandings with facts, then we've removed one source of worry. If we use language that is factual rather than emotional, we'll remove another source of worry. If we eat and sleep well, we will benefit from knowing more positive things. In fact, there are many things that we can do to be positive, but first we must learn to avoid being negative. If we think of a parachutist, we can understand that he or she is likely to be very nervous just before their first jump. But their nervousness will be overtaken by their training. It is their training that will get them prepared for their first jump, and it is their training that will enable them to do it. What I'm asking you to do is train properly for the time that you take a flight. Many people believe that they will have overcome their fear of flying only when they get on an aeroplane, but the fact is that getting over their fear of flying will enable them to get on an aeroplane. And preparation and practice will give you the strategies and techniques to deal with everything that happens on board. If you learn to overcome your fear on the ground, then you will be able to manage your fear when you fly. I think that's enough of an introduction. The feelings and thoughts that I've described are common to everyone who has a fear of flying. What we're going to do now is to look at some of those things in more detail and find ways of restructuring your thoughts. But before I finish this section, let me just tell you about a lady who was going to come on one of our courses. The day before, she phoned to say that she wouldn't be able to come. When I asked her the reason, she said that she was frightened of flying. If she came on my course and I cured her of her fear, then she'd have to go on holiday. And she didn't want to do that because she didn't like flying. I can fully understand how she felt. Clearly, it was impossible for her to imagine herself in the position of being able to fly, and unfortunately, I was unable to persuade her that if she succeeded on the course, then she wouldn't feel the same way about flying. Perhaps you feel like that right now. Perhaps you think that when you go flying, you'll feel as you do now. But of course you won't. You will have a different attitude to it, and you'll be more confident about it. I cannot cure your fear of flying. I can only help you to cure yourself. Perhaps you need to take a big breath to start. Let's do that and start on the journey to overcome your fear of flying. Part 2. The things that fearful flyers think about themselves and flying. The things that fearful flyers think about themselves and flying are as follows. Number 1. They always see it as a weakness. Number 2. They always look for facts that support their fear. Number 3. They talk in a language which encourages and maintains their fear. Number 4. They look for negative things about their fear and anything to do with aeroplanes. Number 5. They rarely try to do anything positive about it. Number 6. They watch the weather in the hope that they can change it. Number 7. They read and look at media nonsense about flying, rather than believing me. Number 8. They believe that they will have a panic attack or lose control of themselves in flight. Number 9. If they had a successful flight, then the next one won't be as good, or that they were lucky. Number 10. They spend a lot of time making what-if statements. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if? What if? Now then, if while I'm sitting at my desk I can think of those 10 things without any great effort, then it must show that there really are some common features amongst people with a fear of flying. And it stands to reason that if we can do something about any or all of those habits, then we'll become more positive about flying. Some people have a superstition that if they don't think about all the bad things that can happen, then something bad will happen. It's as if worrying solves the problem. Well, worrying doesn't solve any problem. In fact, what it does, it makes the problem worse, or rather the perception of the problem worse, because the facts of flying don't actually change. Flying is safe, and most fearful flyers accept that flying is safe, but curiously, they reason or believe that because they've had happy lives, or because of this, or because of that, then suddenly the forces of nature will conspire and turn against them, and they will become an unlucky person. They say, it will happen to me. So it's worth mentioning at this stage what probability is. Probability is the mathematical chance of something happening. But what fearful flyers actually do is take possibility and call it probability. Possibility is quite different. Let me explain that more. It's possible that next year I could be the Prime Minister of England or the head of the United Nations. It's possible because anything in life is possible, but it's not probable. The chances of that really happening are very, very slight. Now, what fearful flyers do is think of anything that's possible and imagine that it will come true. And worse than that, not only will it come true, it'll come true when they are flying. Because, they argue, it has to happen to someone, so why shouldn't it be them? But falling down the stairs or being kicked by a donkey has to happen to someone, but I doubt whether it's happened to them. So why pick on aeroplane accidents? This is selective thinking, but these are natural thoughts at times of anxiety. And, as we shall see later, there are ways of preventing thoughts like these, and the benefits will be obvious. So in this first part, there are a mass of thoughts and actions that we need to address. We will in turn go through them and, of course, add more help and information to them as we go along. I'm going to repeat now the things that I said earlier on, and that is, in order to succeed and overcome your fear of flying, you really must have a 100% commitment. You will not overcome your fear of flying with a half-hearted effort. Fear is insidious. It will attack you when you're weak. It will attack you when you feel tired or worried or anxious. So we need every defense in place ready to combat the random fears that feed your anxiety about flying. In the next section, we're going to see how our minds work in dealing with information about flying, and why, for instance, we're more inclined to believe that we're likelier to die in an accident, even though we're 15 times more likely to die from an illness. Here's a useful question. Where do we store our thoughts and turn them into memories? Where do we change our thoughts and emotions into things that we remember? Just imagine that our minds are like an address book. Imagine that the way we put addresses in the book is like the information that we store in our brains. We put the names of our friends and family into the book. We wouldn't think twice about putting the name of someone we disliked in or wanted to have no dealings with. For instance, how many of us have the number of the Inland Revenue in our address book? The entries are under our control. We choose friends and family. We do not choose the Inland Revenue. We also assign the information alphabetically by first name, surname, company, or whatever we choose. If we don't put the information in like that, and we're looking for a person called Alice Young, we'd need to look in every section apart from the letter Z. Or, let's imagine our minds to be like a computer. We work on whatever we're doing, and the computer says, this is a Word document, or a photograph, video, sound file, or whatever. We have no choice, or at least very little choice, in deciding what sort of file the computer makes. But what we can choose is where we store it. We can make a new folder, add it to an existing folder, or put it on a hard drive or a disk. In fact, a whole range of choices. If we decide that it's not relevant, then we can delete it. And when we're certain we shall never need it again, we can even delete it from the recycle bin. If only our minds were like an address book or a computer. If only we had the choice about what goes in and what is stored and what is deleted. We certainly don't have a choice about what goes in because we cannot prevent ourselves from hearing or seeing what goes on in the world. So the good stuff goes in, and so does the bad. And by the bad stuff in this context, of course, I mean all the negative thoughts you have about flying. But it's even worse than that, because the harder we try not to think of something, then the more likely we are to reinforce those thoughts in our memory. If I ask you now not to think about your front door and not to think about an iceberg, then I can guarantee to name two things that you are most definitely thinking about. It's pretty obvious then what happens when you try not to think about your fear of flying. But once again, it's even worse than that. Your thoughts become part of your memory, and unlike your decision to include an address in your address book or a file in your hard drive, the thoughts, those negative thoughts, will find a place in your memory to wait for an opportunity to reveal themselves later. They store themselves automatically. They copy themselves into other parts of your memory. Unlike a PC, our minds never have to do a search for negative thoughts. Even trying to delete them reinforces them. This means that scattered around your long-term memory are countless thoughts over which, at the moment, you have no control. Like a computer virus, they will link to the memory processes that you use in everyday life. For instance, you may be watching a program on the television about holidays, and it might bring back memories and thoughts about the happy times that you've had or that you might expect. But what else happens? How do you get to your holiday destination? And within moments, of course, you're thinking about flying, and everything bad about flying that is stored in your memory files immediately is recalled. Unlike a computer, where if we've lost or forgotten a file, we have to start a search, if you've got a fear of flying, the search for fear files start automatically. Think of your fear as a computer virus, spyware, or a Trojan that has got onto your personal hard drive. We'll need some high-quality software to remove it and then protect against it. And of course, we're installing it right now. Here's how your fear virus works. Maybe you're having a conversation about the bad weather. Along comes the virus called turbulence, which attaches itself to your conversation. Perhaps you're talking about your children leaving university and taking a gap year. How will they get to Europe or Australia or America? Yes, they will be flying. So along comes another virus called I don't like flying over the sea, which brings along the virus called turbulence, plus the one that says I don't like the noise on takeoff. A constant and endless reminder that you don't like flying. But it's worse than that, because now you have reinforced the thoughts that you don't want to have. And this cycle will have been going on for years and years. Is it any wonder that it seems impossible to overcome? Remembering negative thoughts reinforces them. Trying to forget them reinforces them. But that's how it is. If we let thoughts in without structuring them or having a place for them to be in our minds, they will settle anywhere and everywhere. And your negative thoughts are very well established. Now, we're going to have to unlearn them or remove them. And this is the size of the task. Imagine trying to learn mathematics, where you learn that 2 times 2 is not 6 or 8 or 17 or 276, but 4. Where 100 divided by 10 is not 13 or 6 or 272, but 10. Imagine having to delete or remove or forget everything that is wrong before learning the correct answer. That is how you're trying to overcome your fear. You have lots of wrong answers, and they are preventing you from getting the right answers. But as long as you know it, then you can do something about it. And that's what we're doing on this course. Just a couple more things on this subject. It's an educational fact that where we learn something is where we're likely to recall it. It's more likely that you'll remember the words of a nursery rhyme when you're in the company of children than when you're scuba diving around the Great Barrier Reef. You're more likely to recall how to clear your oxygen mask when diving around the Great Barrier Reef than when you're standing at a bus stop. Your problem is that you've learned to be fearful about flying almost everywhere, but most certainly when you're involved in flying. So, what are the chances when you look at a holiday brochure or go to buy a ticket, get to the airport, that you'll forget all the fears that you've collected through your lifetime? Pretty slim, unless we have a strategy. What we have to do, and you'll be pleased to know it's a relatively simple task, is to replace all those bad thoughts, all those negative thoughts, with positive ones. To restructure in your mind those bad experiences that you think you've had on an aeroplane and give them a shape which you can understand. When you understand the facts, then you eliminate the possibility of bad thoughts, negative thoughts, from taking hold. And one of the most effective ways of structuring and implanting good thoughts is to use the correct words to describe them, using positive words and the correct words. And though we'll talk about this more fully later, I'll give you an example right now. People often say to me that they were in an aeroplane that plummeted. Now, in my 30 years as an airline pilot and 5 years as a flying instructor, I never once plummeted. I often descended. Sometimes I went down. Sometimes I had a high rate of descent, but I never once, ever plummeted. Indeed, when I learned to fly, if my instructor had said to me, "Now we're going to learn to plummet," then I probably wouldn't have become a pilot. Let's review this subject now. Remember, our minds and our memory systems are like an address book or a computer, but without the opportunity to stop wrong addresses being put in, and without being able to delete the files.